again, welcome, welcome. We're glad you're here. We're just going to jump in and to God's word about the storms of life. You know, talking about storms, if being born and raised in Missouri, and if you're from the Midwest, you know what April means. It's storm season, tornado season. I've always been fascinated by storms, been fascinated by tornadoes, just everything that's wrapped up in that. So if I have a chance to catch a show about it, I typically want to try to watch that. And there was a really fascinating show about tornadoes called Mega Twister on National Geographic. And it was talking about the El Reno, Oklahoma tornado that hit May of 2013. The El Reno tornado was one of the most documented tornadoes ever. And I'm not talking about kind of thrill seekers. I'm talking about scientists and storm chasers that do it for the purpose of wanting to try to understand storms better to protect you and protect me. And the El Reno, Oklahoma tornado, not only well documented, it's said to be one of the biggest, fastest tornadoes that's ever been recorded here on good old planet Earth. And there was a graphic on that show that I want to show you. I realize you can't see everything about it, but they used this graphic over and over. They had this big red circle in this National Geographic show, and this represented the tornado itself. The outer winds of the tornado made it 2 to 2.5 miles wide. Then they had all these, which you can't see, all these little red dots just scattered all over the place. That was the scientists and the storm chasers. And so through this whole show, it would show how this massive monster of a tornado was just moving and how all these storm chasers were around trying to get away from it. What happened at the show was the situation turned from the storm chasers and the scientists chasing the storm to the storm chasing the storm chasers. And the storm chasers knew they were in trouble. Again, this is a bright bunch of people that spend their lives doing this. They're very cautious, a lot of experience. They came to a point in time where the tornado was so big, growing so fast, moving so fast, and due to the road system there, they could not get away. And so you saw this big red circle on that graphic just almost like chasing them. It was weird, and all these little red dots of people trying to get away, and the storm kept growing bigger and moving faster, and the storm chasers, with all their experience and wisdom and skill and maturity, they could not outrun it. They could not get away until eventually it showed that big red circle just swallowing all these little red circles. Some of the storm chasers, a lot of this was caught on video, some of the storm chasers were like diving into culverts or diving into ditches to try to get away. Mike Bettis, who's with the Weather Channel, he was in an SUV, this big SUV, with a tornado team for the Weather Channel, and the tornado rolled them two football fields, 200 yards, just kept rolling and rolling and rolling until the SUV was totally demolished. They were okay. It's the first time on the Weather Channel anyone's ever been injured by, you know, extreme weather. But what was really sad is there was a storm chaser named Tim Samaras with his son and one of his best friends. Tim Samaras, I mean, a mature man, a scientist, experienced, very, very cautious. He could not escape that storm. And him and his son and one of his best friends, all three of those scientists were killed. It just flipped their car like 500 feet in the air. And when it slammed, it was it. I remember watching that thinking, man, that storm is an absolute monster. And my heart was racing. They were trying to get away from it. They couldn't. What if God could take your life and my life and put it on a graphic like that and have this huge red circle that's called the storms of life? Not weather, although that could certainly be part of it. But the storms of life, you know what I mean, the struggles of life. The confusing things in life, the disappointments of life, the heartaches, the hurts, the difficulties, the pain. And what if you and I were these little red dots on this graph of our life, and if we could somehow see how the storms of this life relentlessly seem to chase you and chase me because they want to swallow us up. If we could somehow see how the storms of life, the struggles, the difficulties of life, they come in all shapes, all sizes, and hit us from all directions. That sometimes, like a spring thunderstorm, man, they hit hard and fast, and then it's gone. Some of the struggles of life, like the flooding we just went through, it's consistent and day after day and prolonged till it just absolutely wears you out. Now, sometimes the storms of life happen It's our fault, okay? We make foolish, sinful choices that's totally on us, and we drag ourselves and our family and innocent people into a storm they shouldn't be in because it's our bad, because it's our sin. But there are others, many times, that we get in a storm. It's not our fault. We're in a storm that, honestly, we're totally innocent in the fact because we live in a fallen, sin-cursed world where there's just storms everywhere. But like that show, if we could watch how the storms of life chase us and want to consume us and swallow us, like those storm chasers, let's just be clear this morning, you can't outrun and I can't outrun the storms of life. You and I cannot hide from the storms of life. The storms of life are going to hit you and hit me. They're going to hit us, hurt us, toss us, throw us about, swallow us up. So one of the real questions in life is, what do we do about the storms of life? When the storms, the struggles, the difficulties of life hit, what do we do? And this is what I pray that we're going to see this morning. I pray this message is going to encourage you and bless you in a great way, because the real Jesus is real. And he has real power. And he can calm the real storms of life. Your storms are real. No one would debate that. But I want us to see this morning that the real Jesus has real power to calm the real storms in life. And what we need is a miracle. This series is called We Need a Miracle. This is part four. It's called In the Storm. And we're looking at some of the miracles of Jesus. Because God is God, he can do any miracle. He can do anything. And he just added a little thunder there maybe for a little accent of that. In the storm. Because God is God, he chooses if, when, and how he'll do a miracle. Because God is God, he does not have to do a miracle to prove himself to you or to me or anyone, because he's God. And because God is God, most of the time, the vast majority of the time, he does not do miracles. He works in his power with his providence to fulfill his plan through his natural order of life. But if you're just jumping in on this series, there are times that God can absolutely do a miracle. And by a miracle, we mean the Bible definition. God suspends his natural order, gravity, whatever it would be. God suspends his natural order and does an unusual supernatural event that's beyond human explanation. The three dozen or so miracles of Jesus, he did many more than that, but the three dozen or so miracles of Jesus that's covered in the Bible, he performed those for a purpose. He wants to reveal his deity. By his miracles, he wants us to know that he is the Messiah, he is all-powerful, his message is true. We get a glimpse of glory, what heaven's going to be like, and every physical miracle teaches us spiritual truth. Jesus performed miracles to show his power over five categories. He has absolute power over nature, over storms, which is what we're going to look at today when Jesus calms the storm. He has absolute power over all that's evil and demonic. That's next week. He has power over death. That was Easter Sunday. He has power over every disease. That was part one of this series. And last week, he has power over physical needs in the feeding of the 5,000. We want to see in this series to strengthen our faith that we can really trust our God, that the impossible is possible with him, and only through Jesus, whatever we face, however the storm may be, we can live an overcoming life in Christ. Now, part four, this message is called In the Storm. We're looking at the Lord's power over nature, where he has power to calm the storm. And the storm that we're looking at, the miracle of calming the storm, is found in three of the Gospels. It's found in Matthew, found in Luke, but we're looking at Mark. And I would encourage you to open your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. As I go through this message, we're going to look at verses 35 through 41. I'm not going to read them now, but as we go through this message, we will look at every single verse blow by blow. This is the coming of the storm. Jesus has been in ministry for a full day. He's tired. He sends his disciples into a boat to go across the Sea of Galilee. Now, the Sea of Galilee is not really a sea. It's a freshwater lake, but it's just called the Sea of Galilee. It's kind of shaped like a violin. It's 13 miles long, 7 miles across, and it's the lowest freshwater lake below sea level in the world. And it's surrounded by all these mountains. So when you take the cold air rushing off these mountains, going down into this bowl-like of a valley where the Sea of Galilee is, it is the perfect fertile ground for all that to mix up and have El Reno, Oklahoma tornado-type storms. There's all kinds of really serious storms that can just really pop up on the Sea of Galilee. And that's what happens here. Jesus is in the boat with his disciples. They're going across to the other shore. Storm comes up. They're afraid, think they're going to sink, saying, "Hey, Jesus, don't you care that we're going through this?" Jesus says, "Peace, be still," calms the storm, and teaches them some great lesson about storms. Now, what I want us to do, I have five lessons for living, and these five lessons for living is going to build on one another. We want to look through verses 35 through 41, and I want us to see the story about storms. I want us to see how we typically react to storms, even as Christ followers, and I want us to see God's answer to calm the storm. So let's go through these verses together in Mark chapter 4, where Jesus calms the storm. First lesson for living is this: in the storm, Jesus is in the boat with us. In the storm, know that Jesus is in the boat with you. Look at verse 35. On the same day when evening had come, it's nighttime, it's getting late in the day, he said to them, "Let us," he's in the boat with them, "let us cross over to the other side." Let's take the 7-mile trip across the Sea of Galilee. I want us to see, first of all, that this boat ride across the Sea of Galilee is the idea of Jesus. He is the one that commands them, that tells them, "Let's go across to the other side." And I also want you to realize Jesus knew the weather forecast. He knew the weather. He knew that a storm was coming, and he didn't say, "Hey guys, listen, I thought about us going to the other side of the lake, but the goal of my life is to keep you out of every single storm in this world, so we're going to hang back on the shore and not go." No, he didn't do that. He knew that the storm was coming, and he said, "Go." He sent them out into the midst of the storm that he knew was coming. Verse 35 reminds us of something that's very important to know about the storms of life if you are a follower of Christ. You can be in the middle of a storm and be in the middle of God's plan. Now, not every time. Sometimes it's our own sin. But we can be in the middle of a storm and be in the middle of God's will. We tend to think, if there's a storm in my life, if anything's going hard or difficult in my life, man, God must be ticked at me, or I must have done something wrong. Not at all. This is an example. I'll give you another example. Jesus on the cross is the greatest storm forever. He wasn't doing anything wrong. It was the Father's plan. You see, Jesus told us in John 16:33, he said that in this world you're going to have storms. You're going to have tribulations. He said that he's overcome the world. Storms is part of our shared human experience. And I'll make you two promises based on the Word of God. Promise number one, God will never send sin, S-I-N. He'll never send sin into your life or my life. Never. But promise number two, God will allow storms in our life. And the storms of life that God allows in our lives, you can be in the middle of God's plan and be in the middle of a storm. He has a purpose. Storms are not good. When our finances are crazy and our health is bad and our marriage is on the rocks and our kids are rebellious and work just is beyond crazy, that's not good. But that's a storm. But God, storms are not good, but God can bring good out of the storms. See, storms have a purpose. The purpose of a storm is not to drown us in the middle of the lake. It's not to devour us. It's not to destroy us. The purpose of the storm is to develop us. The Lord, in his sovereignty, understands when he allows us to go through storms in our life, if we respond by faith, it transforms us into the image of his Son. And he will transform the storm into his own glory. Warren Wiersbe had such a great way to think about it. We're talking about a boat being out in the middle of a lake. Think about on a lake if there's a cove. And cove number one, the water is always calm. I mean, if you go there in your boat, you can just sit there. The water is always calm. The waves are non-existent. I promise you the rocks in that cove are going to be rough, rugged, and sharp. Let's say right next to it, cove number two is the exact opposite. I mean, cove number two, it's always windy. The waves are always pounding against the shore. It is a brutal place. You can't even keep your boat remotely, you know, anywhere inside that cove. I promise you the rocks in that cove are going to be smooth and polished. If God only allowed calm, 100% calm to our life, our faith would be rough. It's in the storms of life where God polishes our faith. It takes the pounding of the waves. It takes the storms. That's not good. But God allows those in our lives when we respond by faith. It's the storms that polish our faith. And not only does God allow the storms, what we see in verse 35, look at verse 36. We're not alone in the storm. I mean, we're all in the same boat that we go through storms. But in the storms of life, the Lord is with us. We're not alone. It says, now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. Jesus is with them. We may go through a storm, but if Jesus is your Savior, you're never alone in the storm. He is in the boat with us. He'll never bail out of the boat from us. In Hebrews 13, it says he'll never leave us. That word leave is a picture of sinking. He said he'll never leave us or forsake us. We can think of it like this. If Jesus is your Savior, if you're a follower of Christ, 83 times in the New Testament it says, I am in Christ. In Colossians 2:20 it says, Christ is in me. It's Galatians 2:20, it says, Christ in me, Christ's life is in me. In Colossians 1:27 it says that our Lord, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So I'm in Christ, Christ is in me. So we can look at it like this in the storms of life. Jesus is in me. Jesus is in the boat with me, and Jesus is basically the boat that I'm in. Christ is in me, Christ is with me, and I am in Christ. And I want to tell you, a boat where Jesus is in me, and Jesus is with me, and I am in Christ, that kind of boat can handle any storm. So the first thing we need to see, we're just building here the storms of life. The storms of life are common to our lives. The storms of life can be absolutely the plan of God to polish our faith, but know that we're not alone, that the Lord is with us. That brings us to lesson for living number two. We're at verse 37 now. In the storm, fear comes when we realize we're not in control. When the storms, the struggles, the difficulties, the heartaches of life hits, storms come when we realize we're not in control. Verse 37, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. It's filling up with water. They're sailing along, smooth sailing, and all of a sudden, boom, this storm just hits them. Understand that the disciples are rugged, experienced fishermen. They were raised on the water. They absolutely know how to sail, know what to do, understand the Sea of Galilee. I mean, they've been in tons of storms on that water. But verse 37, these three words, great windstorm arose, it paints the picture that they've never been in a storm like this. It's like El Reno tornado in Oklahoma. I mean, it is a storm beyond storms. And they're in this storm, and their little boat is spinning out of control, and it's bobbing around, and the waves, and the wind, and the thunder, and the lightning, the rain sideways, and it's like a cork just bobbing around in the water, and they're trying to bail out water out of it, and it's filling up with water as the waves are just pounding and splashing over the sides of the boat. And they realize really quickly that this is a storm that their skill... I mean, it's nighttime, they're miles away from the shore, they're in a panic. They realize they don't have the skill, the experience, the resources, or the educations to handle this storm. Oh, there may be some storms in the past that they had the strength, they had the skill, they had the ability to handle the storm, but this is not one of those storms. You ever been in a storm like that? You ever been in a storm where you're at the end of your rope? You ever been at the storm where you realize what you're going through in your family, what you're going through at work, what you're going through emotionally in your life? This is one you can't handle. This is one that's going to swamp you and you're going to sink. Hey, I guarantee they don't have big, puffy, orange, Coast Guard approved flotation devices around their neck. They're going to drown. You ever been at that place in your life where a storm hits you and the storm is so out of control, you realize that you are no longer in control and you're more than being drenched by rain and seawater, you're being drenched with fear. They are absolutely consumed by fear because they realize this is out of their control, totally out of their control. Jimmy Johnson is a NASCAR driver and he told an incredible story. Imagine driving 130 miles an hour, don't drive 130 miles an hour, but imagine driving 130 miles an hour and the steering wheel comes off in your hands. That happened 2 or 3 weeks ago to six-time Jimmy Johnson, NASCAR champ. He was doing qualifying laps at the race in Phoenix, Arizona. He's driving along. I won't go into all the things about their steering wheels. They're made to pop off for safety reasons, and they're made to lock on. It didn't get locked on. And he's driving 130 miles an hour in a qualifying lap, and the steering wheel came off in his hands. He said, I just saw the column just spinning. The car was totally out of control. It veered into a wall, smacked the wall, hardest wreck he said he's ever been in, one of them, but he was okay. And he said this, he said, when that steering wheel was in my hands, and I realized the car was totally out of control, he said, that's the scariest event I've ever had in racing. And it is scary when you're in one of those steering wheel in your hands, off the column moments in your life. We are such control freaks. And when we realize that we're in a storm that's out of control, and it's a storm that we can't control, man, we get afraid. We get scared. It can happen to any of us, happen to all of us. The little boat is spinning out of control, which is a picture of their life spinning out of control. So when life is out of control and we can't control, you know what we do? We try to control our lack of control. I can't control it, but I'm going to try to control the fact that I cannot control it. And we just, fear eats us alive. We need to learn what Jesus is teaching them. And we'll see this more as we go forward, that when life seems out of control, let go of control and know that God is in control. Look at lesson for living number three. So, okay, there are storms in this life, and God sometimes allows storms in our lives. It's his plan to polish our faith, that he loves us. He has a purpose in this. He's there with us. But when we get in a storm and we realize, I can't control this thing, I don't have a handle on this, my skill and resources is more than this, we can become afraid. And look what happens next. We're right now at verse 38. In the storm, we may think God does not care. That's the next step. When a storm hits us, we may think that God does not care. Look at verse 38. Says, but he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. That's incredible. Jesus is in the stern of the boat in the same storm, same winds, thunder, lightning, rain, sideways, filling up with water, waves pounding the side of the boat, and Jesus is sound asleep because he has no anxiety. He has no worries. He has no fear. He's the Prince of Peace, and he has perfect peace, and he's in the boat with him. And it says this, and they awoke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Now, sometimes what we do, we tend to sterilize the Bible. I don't know why, but we think about, here's Jesus curled up like a nice little cute puppy on this pillow, and he's snoozing, and there's, you know, the boat's kind of rocking back and forth, and there's a little thunder in the distance, and it's raining. And the disciples walk up to him with their perfect religious robes on, because this is the Bible, and they say, pardon me, Master, doest thee know that we are in this storm, sir? You know what this in the Greek language, they awoke him? It is thunder, lightning, nighttime, boat spinning out of control, the roar of the wind, waves everywhere. These guys' long hair is drenched over their eyes, and their beards are stuck to their clothes. Their robes are stuck to them. This word awoke, it means to shake and shout. It means basically, wake up! Going to Jesus and say, wake up! God, what are you doing? Are you really sleeping while I'm sinking here? It wasn't, God, excuse me. It's, wake up. How can you sleep when my family's being blown to bits? How can you sleep when the person I love so much is throwing up from chemotherapy? Where are you at, God, when I'm sinking in my job and my finances? I'm in a storm here, and you're snoring? God, where are you at? I'm single, alone, and I hate it. You're really going to sleep? That's the picture here. Let's don't do this fake little spiritual goody two-shoes we're in church thing. We're real people in the real world with real storms. And there is not a single believer, there may be one in this room because you're super spiritual and we really admire you, but the rest of us regular people, there's not a follower of Christ who has not at one time in their life been through a storm in their marriage, their kids, their finances, their health, their business, whatever it is, where they haven't at least said, God, where are you? Or at least thought in their mind, in the midst of their fear, Man, God, don't you care? Don't you care? We're taking on a lot of water here, God. And the thought of drowning today is not really what appeals to me. And you're sleeping? Anytime we ask the question of God, do you not care? Here's what happens. Our fear of the storm has gotten larger than our faith in the Savior. This is a fact of life, believer. The more fear devours us, the more distant God seems to be to us. The more fear rules who I am over faith, no wonder we think God's not listening, God's not there, God doesn't care, because the more we go through a storm, we don't have control, we get consumed by fear, we're going to think God doesn't care, that he's not there. And what happens, fear makes us forget. They totally forgot who's in the boat with them. They forgot in the storm the promise of Jesus. He said in verse 35, we're going to go to the other shore. He already promised to get them across the lake. And the Bible's filled with the promises of God, but when we go through storms and we get afraid, we forget his promises. They forgot in the storm the presence of the Lord. He's right there with them. I mean, he was there. Like, God the Father is going to let the Son of God die in the middle of the Sea of Galilee? No, he's going to go to a cross. He was right there with them. They forgot in the storm, in the midst of their fear, they forgot the power of God. Jesus had already done so many miracles in their presence, but in the midst of the storm, the heat of the storm, they absolutely forgot everything about his power. I have a pastor friend of mine who was telling me the story. He says, man, my wife is so awesome. I wanted to be a help to her because she works so hard. So I thought, you know what? I know this would really be a blessing to her. He said, I decided I was going to do the laundry for her and surprise her. So I took everything and threw it in the washer, washed it in hot, and took it out of the washer and threw it all in the dryer. Yeah, you know, it's men, we conquer. Let's dry it as fast as we can. Super lava sun hot dryer. And no one failed to tell him that her favorite sweater is 100% cotton. And if you wash it in hot water and dry it for like 2 hours in the hot dryer, he said, I'm not kidding you, a four-year-old could not have put on her sweater. It shrunk. Because we know the heat of the dryer shrinks the sweater. The heat of the storm shrinks our faith. Fear shrinks our faith. And when our faith shrinks, we begin to forget who God is, his promises, that he's all-powerful, that he's right there with us, and we can move to the point in our lives where I guarantee in a crowd this side, some on radio, some maybe by live stream, you're right now in that camp of saying, God, where are you? Don't you care? What's the greatest care you have in your life this morning? I mean, if I gave you a piece of paper and a pencil and said, you can only list one, what is the single greatest care in your world right now? I don't know if it'd be family, health, emotional, a loved one, job. I don't know. There's so many storms. There's so many. But you can only pick one. Think. I want you to answer it in your mind. I want everyone to have an answer here. What is the number one care in your life at this moment? Number one care. You got it in your mind? What's your number one care? God cares more about it than you care about it. What you just thought of? God cares more about it than you do. His love is more than we can understand, and his caring is more than we can comprehend. He said, cast all your cares upon me because I care for you in 1 Peter 5:7. If I were to go to Jesus and grab him in the weakness of my human emotion and fear and shake him and shout one question, do you care? Jesus can answer in one sentence, yes, I do care. I hung on the cross for you. And that's his answer. He does care. See, we've got to see that this whole lesson is about faith and fear. Storms, are we going to have faith or fear? Fear and faith cannot coexist. Either fear will paralyze our faith and we'll come to the point of saying, God, don't you care? or faith will push out fear. I'm not saying that we will live a perfect, fearless life. No way. But I'm telling you that our faith can overcome our fear in the midst of any storm. And now we come to the fourth lesson for living, where the Lord is going to do his miracle, because storms are part of our human experience. And there are times that God allows storms in our life. It's his plan to polish our faith, to transform us for his glory. And Jesus is right there with us. And the storm brings us to a point in life where we realize, I can't control this thing. And we forget who he is and what he's all about. And fear consumes us so much that we begin to wonder, don't you even care? Are you even there? Well, look at lesson for living number four. In the storm, Jesus can move intense chaos to instant calm. Jesus can move intense chaos to instant calm. We're at verse 39 now. He arose and rebuked the wind. I don't know if he faced them. I don't know if he faced the water, but he got up from sleeping and he rebuked, look what it says, and he rebuked the disciples. He said, you bunch of idiots, what is your stinking problem? I'm laying here sleeping. You say you trust me. Oh, you really trust me, you bunch of idiots. Sit down, shut up, and I'll take care of this. Is that what the Bible says? No, he did not rebuke the disciples. He rebuked the storm. That's how loving and grace and mercy and kindness, you and I, when we should get, he doesn't rebuke us. He rebukes the storm and he loves us and he teaches us things. He rebuked the wind and said to the sea, he spoke three words, peace be still. And it says that, and the wind ceased and there was a great calm. This is an absolute miracle, his power over nature. Don't picture like the wind's roaring, wah, and it just kind of dies down, wah. And the waves are kind of going like this. This is like storm, boom, sheet of glass. No wind, no waves, throw a switch, horrific storm, intense chaos, boom, instant calm. That's the miracle here. Instantly. Verse 40. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? We've said about this whole thing, the issue is their fear. Their fear is greater than their faith. Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Now, understand these two sentences go together. Jesus is not saying to the disciples, you have zero faith. When you and I go through a storm, he's not saying we have no faith, we don't believe he's the Savior. No, he's saying, why are you so fearful? How is it you have no faith? He's saying, in this storm, your fear is greater than your faith. That's what he's saying. You're not that they have zero faith, but that your fear is greater than your faith. Again, he's teaching them in verse 40, this is the lesson the Lord is teaching us, faith over fear. When you're in a storm, you've got to trust me. Faith over fear. Because we can trust him because he went through the storm of the cross for us. He knows all about storms. We can trust him because every storm in our little boats in this world, is they're real and they hurt, but they're temporary. In heaven, there'll never be storms again. There's going to be peace be still, calm forever in heaven. When storms hit in our life, here's Jesus will do four things concerning, this is important to get down. This is something you can keep with you the rest of your life as a follower of Christ. In the storms of life, because storms are going to hit, one of four things. Jesus will keep us from the storm. Jesus will get us out of the storm. Jesus will calm the storm. Or Jesus will calm us in the storm. Number one is, here's the storm, raging. Jesus keeps us out of the storm. How many times in his mercy did he keep us from having a car wreck or something? I don't know. Here's the storm, he keeps us out of the storm. Number two is, here's the storm, we're in the storm, but he gets us out of the storm while the storm's still going on. Number three is, here's the storm. We're in the storm. This is our story. Jesus calms the storm and removes the storm. And number four is, here's the storm. We're in the storm. And Jesus says, you're going to stay in the storm, but I'm going to calm you in the midst of it. Why would he make us stay in the storm? I don't know. Why did he stay on the cross for 6 hours? Why would he keep them in the dark in the middle of the lake? I don't know. Why was he in an empty tomb over Easter weekend in the dark, dead? I don't know. But I do know this, in the storms of life, he'll keep us out of the storm, he'll get us out of the storm, he'll calm the storm, or he'll calm us in the storm. Your storm, your situation right now, which one of those four? Man, I don't know. He's God, and he's got a plan for his glory. Finally, verse 41, we made it. And they feared exceedingly. I love this. If you compare this phrase, feared exceedingly, in verse 41 to the word fear in verse 40, this fear in verse 41 is greater than the fear in verse 40. In other words, they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? What's so cool? What happened in the storm? This is God's goal. The fear of God became greater than the fear of the storm. Now, fear of God doesn't mean you're afraid of God. It means you're in wonder, you're amazement, and in awe, and respect, and reverence. And who can this be? Doesn't mean they don't know who Jesus is. They're saying, it's a way of saying, this guy's incredible. This guy is worthy. This guy is majesty and honor. And that's how it is. Storms hit us. It can be God's plan, and we can be in the middle of God's plan, and he's there with us. He's polishing us, and we can't control it, so we tend to gravitate to fear. And in our fear, we forget who he is and what he's all about, and we can even think, God, do you care? But God, in his loving, rebukes the storms, keeps us out of the storms, calms us in the storm, whatever he's going to do, and we have an opportunity to move from the fear of the storm to the fear of the Lord. And to say, man, isn't God amazing? I don't understand it all. I don't have it figured. I still cry. It still hurts. Here's the goal of this message. Here's what I want in my life after this message, and I invite you to join me. I want, number one, by grace, let's keep growing in Christ, where each day we walk more by faith and less by fear. If God would so help me in my life, I'm being honest. Am I going to never have any fear in my life from the storms of life this day forward? No way. But my goal is, by God's grace, if today I could walk in faith more than fear, and tomorrow I could walk in faith more than fear than I did today, that we want to continually be transformed to the image of Christ, fruit-bearing disciples, that each day we walk more by faith and less by fear. And most of all, this is from this message, let's walk in the fear of the Lord. Let's walk in the amazement, the reverence, the respect, the worship of our Lord, and for his glory, more than focusing on the storms. Let's know he's using it for his glory. Most sermons on calming the storm stop right there. But there's one more point we can't miss. Our fifth lesson for living is this: in the storms, don't forget about the other boats. Verse 36 is what many people miss in the story of Jesus calming the storm. And when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. Many people look at Jesus calming the storm. They picture the storm, the wind, the waves, the boat, Jesus sleeping, Jesus peace. And they picture one boat in the middle of the lake. That's not accurate. There are a bunch of boats. There's not just one boat. There's all kinds of boats. Jesus was going to the other shore, and these people, some who want to see a miracle, some who are generally looking for his truth, some who just for whatever, but all these little boats take off and follow him, and they're all in the same storm. See, I don't know this, but maybe this happened. Maybe there's a little boat over here, and that's the boat with Jesus and the disciples in it, and maybe the people in this other boat said, hey, you know what? See that boat over there? Jesus is in that boat, and he's not in our boat. But see those guys around Jesus in that boat over there spinning like we're spinning? They're called followers of Christ. And they believe the Bible's the Word of God, and they say that God loves them, and they believe in the power of prayer, and they believe there's a real place called heaven, and they sing songs and say that Jesus is trustworthy and that they would give their life for him and he's the Savior. Here's all I know. Jesus is in that boat. He's not in this boat. We're both in the same storm. Let's see if having Jesus in your boat makes a difference. Because the people here, they follow him, they love him, they know him, they were saved, they were baptized, they do missions and ministry and scripture and wiggle to Chris Tomlin songs. They do it all the time. So let's watch them, because we're in the real world in the real storm, and I've got to know this thing. I don't want to hear about who they vote for president, and I'm not want to know if they go to church. I want to know in the real world, when I'm in a storm and there is a storm, if Jesus is in your boat, doesn't make a difference. We forget about the other little boats. We're so focused. I can be so focused on my boat and my storm and the Lord in my life, I forget that he puts people who don't know him in the same storms that we're in. He takes people who know him and put them in the same storm with people who need him so they can point him to him. If a believer gets cancer, there's an unbeliever that gets cancer. If a believer goes through a divorce, there's an unbeliever goes through a divorce. God doesn't cause those things, but he can use them. Because the other boats are watching. You and I are being observed. Our family is watching us, our friends, our schoolmates, people we work, the community, they're watching us. And what, again, they really want to know, man, collect food and feed the poor, that's all great. I mean, let's sing our songs and do our church, you know, let's have the slides of everybody standing in a field doing this. They want to know, does it make a difference in the storms of life? That's what our community wants to know. And you know what I hope they see? This is, oh Lord, please make this happen. This is what I hope they see in this church and you and me. I hope they see real people. Transparent, real people. Not fake, religious, with our little cliches, real people who don't have it all figured out, who still gonna have fear pop up in our lives, but when they look at us, they see that Christ is in us. And they don't see perfection, but they see that Jesus is our perfection. And they look at us and they see that our faith is greater than fear. And they say there's something different about them in the storm they're in and the storm I'm in, and this guy Jesus must make the difference. Because the world asked the question in verse 38, do you not care that we're perishing? The word perishing, do you not care that we're perishing? And Jesus, the greatest answer of all, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him would not perish. Do you not care in verse 38 we're perishing? He says that you'd never perish, but have eternal life. The other boats are watching you and the other boats are watching me, and the storms of life we go through is so far beyond how it impacts us and how it glorifies God. It advances the gospel if we just trust him and we're just real people who have a relationship with the real Jesus. And he's really changed our lives. Man, come to him if you don't know him. The greatest storm of all is nothing on this planet. Forget the El Reno tornado. It makes me so sad. It makes my knees shake and breaks my heart. There is a real place called hell. But Jesus took hell, took the wrath of God, took all of our sins upon himself, where if we would turn from our sins and trust in his death and his resurrection for the forgiveness of sins, he'll give us meaning and power and purpose here today. An eternal life where there's no storms in heaven when this life is over. And today, are you in a storm? Man, what's your storm today? You're a Christ follower. Are you in a storm? You're not alone. We're all in the same boat together. And Jesus is in the boat with us. There's no one in here going through a storm that some other believer hasn't been through that same storm somewhere in the world. We're not alone. God really is in control. He really is in control. He's working out his plan for his glory. We've got to trust him no matter what. Fear, no. Faith over fear. Faith over fear. Because there are some other boats surrounding our boat who's watching our lives to see if Jesus makes a difference. I don't know what your storm is today and how bad you're hurting and how confused and how discouraged you are, but would you let Jesus speak to you today? Would you let him speak to your heart? Would you read that in your own heart silently and let him speak to your heart? Is he your Savior? You're in a storm. Would you read that again? Would you read it slow? Man, Man, be encouraged. Just slow down. And would you hear his voice say this? Peace. Be still. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you that we can trust you in any storm. I want to thank you so much that right now to hearts all across this room, you're saying, peace, be still. God, storms hurt. They're confusing and scary. But you're in the boat with us. You'll never leave us or forsake us. You arose from the grave. Peace be still.